me ask you a few questions that I want you to think about and really to contemplate over. Am I responsible for the destinies of all peoples? Can God use someone like me to make an eternal difference in the lives of other people? I want you to wrestle with that. And then, does my current lifestyle reflect God's heart for the nations? Whenever you think about God's heart and God's heart for the nations, you think of Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, which is a glimpse of our eternal reality, where John writes, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation," would you say that with me? "From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That is a vision of our heavenly reality. And what we notice, it's not going to be a monocultural experience. But God's heart is for the nations. God's heart is for all people groups, that everyone would come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the reality is, God has made His gospel available to all, but it only affects and impacts those who respond to His gospel. So the question is, what is your heart for the nations? Whenever we look at Jesus and look at His life and how He oriented His life around God's heart for the nations. One of my favorite verses, John 4, 34, and Jesus said to them, that is to His disciples, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." What if that became our heartbeat? What if that became our passion, that what we're going to give our lives to is the will of God and to accomplish His work? And then in John 17 and verse 4, we call it the priestly prayer, where Jesus is praying to our Heavenly Father. And here's what He said: "I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do." Oh, if that could be said at your funeral. If that could be said at my funeral, if Jesus tarries His coming, that we would be able to affirm that in your life. "I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do." I love this quote from Henry Blackaby in his book on Mission with God. "When you adjust your life to join God where He is working, you are dropped into the timeline of His global and eternal kingdom activity." So much of our lives are focused on the here and now. We get so consumed with the immediate: what we're going to wear, what we're going to drive, where we're going to live, where we're going to work, where we're going to eat. Can I have an amen? It's okay to feel good about that. And we get so consumed with our immediate, or how we are perceived, or what others think of us, or how we're going to live our lives, where we're going to go from here, that we bypass the reality that we are living by faith and not by sight. That things that we see are temporary, and things that are unseen, the Bible says, are eternal. If only we could get the heart of God for our nations. So the question is, how can I adjust my lifestyle to reflect God's heart for the nations? Let me give you three adjustments. Number one, here's lifestyle adjustment number one: see yourself as a missionary. Now, wait a minute. When I was growing up at Horseshoe Drive Baptist Church in Alexandria, Louisiana, I remember every year when we had a missionary come and speak. And they had this machine that they would put on a table. And it looked like a rim off of a car that was laid horizontal. And it had these little white plastic things all the way around it. And there was a little cord and a little trigger point. And as the missionary would speak, he'd go click, click, and it would pull up another picture. And he would talk 5 to 10 minutes about that picture. And I was nearby, about on the fourth row, and I was looking at that little tray, and it had many of those little slides. I'm like, if he spent 5 to 10 minutes on that one, we're going to be here for a couple weeks. So growing up, that's my understanding of what a missionary was. It's someone who was going overseas to share Jesus Christ with another culture. Then they'd come back to local churches in America to show a slideshow. Then they'd get on a plane and go back to the culture. And that left the rest of us. Then in my journey with God, what I've come to understand is that as a child of God, I am a missionary joining God. And as a child of God, you are a missionary joining God in His activity. We receive our marching orders, if you'll turn with me, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, if you want to know the heartbeat of God, the heartbeat for God related to the nations, the heartbeat of God related to His church, the heartbeat of God related to you and your assignment from God, it's Matthew chapter 28. And we pick up in verse 18. It's known as the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Often I had the privilege of doing weddings, and near the end of my part of the ceremony, I will say, "Upon the authority of the state of Texas, and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have the authority now to pronounce you husband and wife." Now, where was I given that authority? I was given that authority by God as a minister of the gospel, and I was given that authority by the state of Texas because it's going to be registered with the clerk of court as an official marriage relationship. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. As a result of that authority, now look at verse 19, go therefore, based on that authority by Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Now that's not plural, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always. Here's a promise of His presence to the end of the age. So we are operating as missionaries, joining God in His activity. We're given authority by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're operating on this broken planet, given authority by the Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples. The only imperative in this passage is make disciples. That's the non-negotiable. That's what God wants us to give our lives to, a heart for the nations, making disciples. Then He says, as you are going, baptizing, getting them connected to the Lord and to His church, and then teaching them to obey everything that He has commanded us. And so we want to disciple them by teaching the Word of God. That's why as a church, we are what's called a life group church, and we have a beautiful building right across the atrium that is to disciple our generations. We have a student building to disciple our students. We're a life group church. Why? Because we want you to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and then we want you to grow spiritually. We want to disciple you to help you build spiritual muscle and tenacity and fortitude and learn the Word of God. That's why we have a baptistry. Baptism doesn't save you. It lets other people know you've been saved. And the reason we have the baptistry here and the water is heated and it's chlorinated and it's ready is we want you to obey the Lord. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, your next step of obedience is to follow in believer's baptism. That is baptism by immersion. So as you go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and He will be with us always, even to the end of the age. Here's another way to say it. Those who become disciples are to be disciple makers. If you wanted to have a sticker on your car that would really identify God's heart for you, for the nations, it's this. You could put on your vehicle, "I am a disciple maker." You could put on your bicycle, "I am a disciple maker." You can put on your refrigerator before you dive in. I am a disciple maker. You can put on your mirror where you get ready and say, I am a disciple maker. Why? Because that's who you are in Jesus Christ. You are a missionary. And His commission is our mission as a church. And His commission is your mission as a believer. You exist to know Jesus and to make Him known. You exist to fulfill the Great Commission in your generation. You exist to be salt and light in a decaying and dark world. You exist to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. It's from A to Z. You're an advertisement for the Alpha and Omega. You're a billboard for the bread of life. You are a communicator for Christ. You are a deliverer for the day star. You are an echo for the eternal life giver. You're a faith revealer for the friend who sticks closer than a brother. You're a Great Commission Christian for whom? The Good Shepherd. You're a helper for the healer. You're an irresistible influence for Emmanuel. You are a luminary for the Lord. I've been sharing that with Tori and Austin since they were born. They know what this means. I'll see them, I'll just go like that. You know what it means? Two things. Don't forget now, you're a leader for the Lord and you're a luminary for the Lord. They know that. If you ever see them, just go like that. They'll know what you're talking about. You're a megaphone for the master cheerleaders. You're a PA system for the Prince of Peace. You're a reconciler for the Redeemer. You are a salt shaker for the Savior when you're baptizing those chips at lunch. You're a truth bearer for the truth revealer. You're an underdog who got rescued by the umbrella of our faith. You're a verbalizer for the one who has won your victory. You're a witness for the way, truth, and life. And you are loved from A to XYZ. So speak for the global glory of God. Sing for the global glory of God. Write, serve, witness, pray, worship, give, teach, preach for the global glory of God. And be willing to walk across the room. Be willing to walk across the aisle. Be willing to walk across the campus. Be willing to walk across the office. Be willing to walk across the field. Be willing to cross the bridge. Be willing to walk across the railroad tracks. Be willing to walk across the checkout line. Be willing to walk across the street to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ for the global glory of God. You see, making disciples means making room for other people in your life. Making disciples means I'm going to serve the needs of others. I'm going to love others. I'm going to intercede for others. Making disciples means I'm going to invest in others. I'm going to invite others to church, and I'm going to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Making disciples is our passion. Why? Because hell is real. We make disciples because heaven is eternal. We make disciples because God is not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. We make disciples because the end is near. And we make disciples because Jesus is coming again. If you want to invest your life and not waste your life, then you become a contagious Great Commission Christian. And begin to reflect God's heart for the nations. And what would happen? What would happen if you began to see yourself as a missionary? What would happen if you responded to the words of Jesus in John 20, 21, where He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." I remember a few years ago when I went to Kazakhstan on a mission trip, and our church had shipped Christmas boxes to Kazakhstan in advance to an orphanage. And our team got to this orphanage in Kazakhstan, and all the boxes were stacked up in their auditorium where we were having the presentation. And they gave me the opportunity to share the gospel. The room was filled with children and those who were working there, serving the orphanage. We had the Christmas boxes brought up in front of the stage all the way from side to side, stacked up. And I was preaching the gospel, so I would say one phrase in English, then the interpreter would interpret in Kazakh, who then would interpret in Russian. So you had to really stay focused on what you had just said because you had to wait your turn for it to come back around to say the next English phrase. And then we gave a gospel invitation, and several hundred of those children and workers gave their faith to Jesus Christ. And though they received a gift from the shoeboxes that was a blessing to them, the greatest gift they received on that day was a gift of eternal life. And what's so powerful, though these children were awaiting adoption, waiting for somebody to come to their rescue, on that day, they were adopted into God's forever family. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we were a mission-minded church. That's why we give sacrificially through the life of the church to bless the nations. We're passionate. Why? Because we see ourselves as missionaries. Every believer, a missionary. Well, here's lifestyle adjustment number two. We're moving quickly. Are you ready? See people as your mission field. See people as your mission field. If you're not careful, you'll see your coworker as an enemy. Or you'll see that customer, you know which one I'm talking about, that cantankerous one. If you're not careful, you'll see them as an enemy. If you're not careful, you'll even look in your family tree and say, oh my, are they coming again? Do we have to go there at Thanksgiving? Are they coming here for Christmas? And if you're not careful, you'll see family as an enemy. Did you know that people are not the enemy? People are the mission field. And God has called us to be missionaries to engage our mission field. So I want to challenge you to see people as your mission field. God has built the ultimate love bridge to us in Jesus so that we can build the same bridge of love to other people. Let me give you a few stats before we move on to number three. There are 11,747 people groups in our world. There are 7,030. That's the number of people groups where evangelical Christians comprise less than 2% of the total population. And listen to this. 3,182. That's the number of unreached people groups not engaged by anyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our mission field is expansive. It's expanding. But it's also extensive. It's extending. And God has brought the light of Jesus Christ into our lives so that we will be a bridge-building blessing to the nations. I remember earlier in my ministry whenever an older pastor pulled me in and just to love on me, and he pulled in another young pastor, and the other pastor and I were the same age, and he said, I want to take you to the Global Focus Conference in Atlanta. And I was pastoring in my hometown at that time, right after seminary. And I said, well, what's Global Focus? He said, I just want you to go. And I had such respect for him, we went. And at this conference, I'll never forget this gentleman talking about how if you would be willing to wrap your loving arms around this world, God will wrap his loving arms around you to help you reach the world. And this guy was wearing the coolest jacket I've ever seen. His jacket literally was the globe. I was so enthralled by it, I bought one. And I would have worn it, but it no longer fits. I have grown. I've been working out. If you'll wrap your arms around the world, God will wrap his arms around you to help you love the world. So you see yourself as a missionary, and then you see people as the mission field. People are not the enemy. People are the mission. Here's lifestyle adjustment number three. Seize opportunities to make Jesus known. God's going to give you opportunities. God's going to bring people in your life. And sometimes God will bring those people in your life through a detour, through a disappointment, through a delay in your own life. through an interruption in your life, something that you're walking through that you never thought you'd have to walk through, or an appointment you never thought you'd have to go to. And God puts you in places and brings people into your path, and God gives you these wonderful spheres of influence. And you realize, had I not gone through that, I wouldn't be here. Had I not been here, I wouldn't know them. Had I not known them, I would have never had opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. But because I went through this, and because it relocated me here, and because I've been going through this season, it put me in a new sphere of influence. I've got a new intersection of life that has brought new people into my life so that I can build the same bridge of love that was built to me to them. Seize opportunities to make Jesus known. Be willing to leave and go. As God told Abram, leave and go to a land I will show you. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, so Abram left as the Lord commanded, even though he didn't know where he was going. Leave and go. Build intentional relationships. Build intentional relationships. We're on mission with God to bring all peoples of the world to a saving faith in Jesus. And then I want to challenge you. Go vertical with your conversations. Now, we're going to have fun this week talking about the Astros, and praise God, they're winning, and we want them to go all the way. Pastor Lewis texted me last night and said, what happens if game 7 is on Wednesday night and we have church? I said, we got this big LED screen up here. We fill up the house. You don't have to go to Minute Maid to watch no ball game. You can come into the comfort of this worship center. We got a cafe. We got amazing restrooms. And we'll just watch it on the LED screen for the glory of God. Amen. I'm feeling the love flowing right there. Now, I don't know if we have cable or dish, but I bet we can figure it out in about 30 minutes. So you go vertical with your conversations. It's going to be very natural to talk about the Astros this week. And it's okay to talk about the Astros as long as you get to the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you take your conversation vertical and then go public with your faith. Go public with your faith. The Christian reality is not a private reality. God wants you to go public with your faith. So don't go stealth with your Christianity. Go public with your faith. And then go global with your influence. Go global with your influence. Be willing to travel across the world. Be willing to go on a short-term mission trip. In 2020, Champion Forest, we've got all these amazing mission trips available. We're going to Brazil, Costa Rica, Mexico, Kenya, New Mexico, Honduras, Germany, Indonesia, Colombia, New England, Mozambique, Long Island, New York, Alaska, going to the Fiji Islands. It's still called a mission trip. El Salvador and France. That's the lineup for 2020. And maybe for you, God's tugging on your heart, not for a short-term missionary. Maybe God's calling you to be a career missionary. Maybe that's what God wants you to give the rest of your life to. So go global with your influence. And then I want to challenge you to invite others into God's story of redemption. Invite others into God's story of redemption. I love how Dr. Adrian Rogers said it so well before he went to heaven. I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And his name is Jesus. Would you bow with me for prayer? Every head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you these questions. Number one, this is for you personally. Am I properly utilizing what God has given me to benefit others? Number two, am I on a mission or truly on mission with God? Number three, has God's commission become my mission? And then number four, do I see people the way God sees them? Do I value people the way God values them? Do I love people the way God loves them? Does your heart reflect God's heart for the nation? Would you ask God to help you see the ways you can join him in blessing the nations, starting right here where you are? And you can pray this simple prayer, Lord, I'm yours, use me. Lord, I'm yours, use me. When you leave this building, you'll notice on the wall, the monitors say, you are now entering your mission field. That's our reality. When we walk out of this room, we're entering our mission field. And I want to help you prepare. If you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, it would be very difficult for you to be a Great Commission Christian if you're not a Christian. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus alone for salvation, right after the service, we're going to invite you to come near the cross here by the baptistry. We're going to have prayer partners available, and you can come to any one of them and just say, I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord. I want to become a Christian. I want to become a child of God. You can say anything like that, and our prayer partner will share with you how you can become a child of God today and be adopted into God's forever family, and you can become a Great Commission Christian. You're one decision away. Let us help you with that decision. Child of God, are you sold out the whole route? Are you fully yielded to the Lordship of Christ? Are you willing to go public with your faith? Are you willing to see yourself as a missionary and see people as the mission field? And then this week, seize opportunities to make Jesus known. And Lord, that's our prayer, that you would have your way in us, draw us to yourself. Lord, help us be courageous and contagious as Great Commission Christians. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.